Consensus is suing the SEC and its five commissioners over claims that they plan to regulate ETH as a security. Good morning. You're listening to the Rise and Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. Things are heating up in crypto, so if you want to stay ahead of the curve, you better click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. Happy Friday, everybody. We're going to start today's episode, as we always do, with a Bitcoin rundown, which includes the auction of an epic sat, a crypto whale moving $1.3 billion to Coinbase, and then the prediction that $300 billion worth of capital is going to flow into crypto from boomers. Next up, we have the credible report circulating that the USC is set to deny the spot Ether ETFs next month. And in a connected story, Consensus files a lawsuit against the SEC. Then in the penultimate story today, I'm going to do a breakdown of why real-world asset tokenization is going to be the next big thing. And finally, new phone, who dis? Memecoin airdrops to wallets that pre-ordered the new Solana mobile phone briefly exceed the cost of the phone itself. It's been a similar story most of this week with Bitcoin as the price has remained broadly in the same range. But yet again, there are a few stories that are worth knowing. Firstly, you may remember that the mining firm Via BTC mined the fourth halving block, block 840,000, which set a record for fees and earned Via BTC far more than the halved Bitcoin reward. And they just got another significant payday from that block. So for the uninitiated, a Satoshi is the smallest unit of Bitcoin. So small, in fact, that one US dollar will net you somewhere in the region of 1,500 Satoshis at the time of recording. That is, unless the Satoshi has some significance. The beauty of blockchain is you can trace the provenance of each Satoshi. And in recent years, there has become a market for Satoshis that are linked to something memorable, and people will buy them for far in excess of the usual value of a Satoshi. For example, people like to collect the sats from the 10,000 bitcoins used to buy two Papa John's pizzas back in May 2010, which at current prices is around $321 million per pizza. Or another interesting sat is one from the bitcoin sent from Satoshi Nakamoto to Hal Finney in the first ever transaction on the network. There are, however, something called epic sats, of which there are only four. An epic sat is the first Satoshi to be mined in the first block post-halving, and given that the recent halving was only the fourth halving ever to happen, there are only four in existence. Furthermore, if you lived until the year 2140, and good for you if you do, you will have seen all 33 Bitcoin halvings, and that means there's still only 33 epic sats. With that in mind, the latest epic sat went to auction this week, and an unidentified bidder won ownership with a bid of, wait for it, 33.3 BTC. At the time of recording, that is $2.14 million. Elsewhere in Bitcoin, an interesting interview happened yesterday on the Wolf of All Streets podcast with the Morgan Creek Capital CEO, Mark Yusko. It's an iteration of a point I've raised before, but made in a particularly reasonable way. The headline is that Yusko believes $300 billion is going to flow into crypto, particularly Bitcoin, in the next 12 months. You might scoff at that outlandish figure, but hear him out. The backbone of Yusko's prediction is the familiar narrative of investment advisors still waiting to get the green light to invest in the spot Bitcoin ETFs, and then presumably any future crypto ETFs if we see them. Yusko said, "There's going to be $300 billion, I believe, that's 1% of 30 trillion, that comes into the space within the next 12 months. That's actually more money than has ever been converted to Bitcoin in 15 years. That's a pretty amazing thing." So Yusko believes that capital will come from baby boomers, those born between 1946 and 1964, and primarily through retirement accounts managed by said advisors. The Investment Advisor Association states that US financial advisors managed $114.1 trillion in assets in 2022. So there are plenty of Benjamins floating around. Yusko added, "We're a couple of months, about 3 months, into the ETFs, and we've got around 10% of what I believe is coming into the space from the registered investment advisors that control all the boomers' cash." Okay, and one final, maybe Bitcoin-related story is what some are calling a giant buy signal. Yesterday, a whale transferred $1.3 billion of USDC to Coinbase. Generally, stablecoin deposits on exchanges are a bullish sign, and this particular gargantuan transfer has many market commentators suggesting it's going to be used for Bitcoin. Lark Davis, aka the Crypto Lark, told Cointelegraph, "If this is indeed a whale buying at current prices, then yes, it can have a big impact on the price of the asset they are buying, which at that level is almost certainly only Bitcoin and Ethereum." The spot Ethereum ETF applications are simultaneously a major story and completely dry to talk about. The deadline is pushed back consistently as we wait for the real deadline that matters in May. However, some major updates are rumbling and one informs the other. Firstly, a report from Reuters states that US issuers expect the SEC to reject the spot Ether ETF applications next month after recent meetings with the regulator, and the report cites four different people who were in those meetings. The sources contrasted the recent unsuccessful talks with the SEC about these Ether ETFs with the detailed and fruitful discussions between the issuers and the agency in January over the Bitcoin ETFs. Last month, Bloomberg's Eric Balchunas put the odds of approval at around 35% and also claimed that he had sourced good intel to suggest the SEC's silent treatment on the Ether ETFs is on purpose. Another significant area of silence is from the SEC chair Gary Gensler, who refuses to give clarity on whether Ether is a security. And this is the bridge between the two stories here. The software development company Consensus has filed a lawsuit against the SEC and its five commissioners over claims they plan to regulate ETH as a security. I will pass you over to Turner Wright for this one.
So the software firm Consensus has filed a lawsuit against not only the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, but also all five commissioners, specifically naming Chair Gary Gensler, in a lawsuit claiming that the SEC is going after Ethereum and attempting to reclassify it as a security. Now, the text of the lawsuit seems to focus on just how the history of the SEC has suggested it has identified Ethereum as a commodity for years, including Gensler specifically. And yet this change could result in chaos for the industry if they just kind of flip-flop on their regulatory approach. This is one of the earliest legal findings we're seeing now. The reports have come out that the SEC may be attempting to do this. It hasn't outright said it yet, and it may be trying to be coy in some way for this reason, but there have been reports circulating just based on enforcement actions that Ethereum could be a future target.
In yesterday's episode, and a few episodes recently, I mentioned real-world asset tokenization. It's been a major focal point of the emerging bull market, and perhaps more interesting than that, it's been a major focus of huge financial institutions. BlackRock CEO Larry Fink sees the tokenization of financial assets as the future of finance, and that tokenizing real-world assets could be worth $10 trillion by 2030. Well, for a more comprehensive look at the potential of this application of the tech, the blockchain oracle platform, Chainlink, released an industry report titled Beyond Token Issuance. The report explains the opportunities of tokenization and how interoperability and real-world data could unlock the value of tokenized assets. It's a pretty deep report, so it's impossible for me to give an exhaustive breakdown of it, but I want to flag a few key areas of value. Three of the benefits of tokenization the report highlights are the following: the unlocking of dormant capital, giving assets greater availability, and creating novel revenue models. And I've seen all three of those mentioned on various occasions, and it occurred to me that it might not be obvious what they mean, so I want to briefly unpack them. So, tokenization can be used for the converting of real-world assets into digital tokens, and the way this can unlock dormant capital is by lubricating otherwise illiquid assets like real estate or art. These assets can be divisible and owners can access value without selling the entire thing. Now, this is also one of the novel revenue models. Fractional ownership of big-ticket items opens up an entirely new market for investors. Think of all those times you can predict the value of something going up, but you can't possibly afford to buy it. Well, now at least you can get involved. The barrier of entry is much lower. And that is a key part of the greater availability of assets benefit. Not only is there a significantly lower barrier of entry for investment into many sectors, but tokenization can mean a simpler transaction process, far simpler in some cases, and it opens up the opportunities globally. Now, these are only a handful of benefits that Chainlink goes through, so I really recommend reading the full report if you're interested in tokenization. Chainlink also argues that blockchain has continued to evolve into an integral component of the existing financial ecosystem. Nevertheless, as bullish as many feel about the tokenizing of assets, I'm going to have to roll out the old crypto cliche and say we are still so early. A lot of groundwork still needs to be laid. Ryan Lovell, the director of capital markets at Chainlink Labs, told Cointelegraph that tokenization has been in R&D phase for years, and that the next phase is about building foundational infrastructure, and it does feel like we're getting quite close to that. Look, blockchain technology is why I entered this space, and it's an exciting time for anyone else with that as their focal point. But at the same time, I can see why those only interested in money can't take their eyes off of tokenization. Okay, that was far too heavy a story to end a Friday episode on, so let me give you something entertaining before I sign off. Solana's mobile phone has been a strange tale. The initial announcement was met with curiosity in crypto and contempt outside of it. But then when it released nearly a year ago today, it wasn't showered with love. Then in December of last year, sales figures of the Solana Saga phone 10x'd. It seemed to come out of nowhere, but what happened was eagle-eyed degens found a bizarre arbitrage opportunity. You see, owners of a Solana Saga phone could claim a 30 million airdrop of Bonk. And back in December, the meme coin Bonk was up 1,100% on the month. So at one point, you could buy the phone for $599, and the Bonk you claimed as a result was worth somewhere around $900. Well, history has sort of repeated itself. Pre-order holders of Solana's Chapter 2 mobile phone have been airdropped two Solana meme coins. The first is Cat in a Dog's World with the ticker Mu, and the second is Maneki with a ticker of the same name. The device costs $450 up front, but yesterday the value of the airdropped meme coins reached $459, meaning yet again it was profitable to buy a Solana phone brand new, at least in theory. Since then, other meme coin projects have airdropped to Chapter 2 wallets, so who knows if it will go back to being profitable, but there you go. Another free phone for degens. Okay, that is it for today. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. You can also join my Rise in Crypto community on Warpcast with the channel name RNC, where I share some previews of the next episode and we discuss the big stories. Right, have a great weekend. Let's do this again Monday.